We're going to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 15, Text 8. In honor of Janmashtami, we'll jump right to the 10th canto. Paraspisho jumarita karajam bimishta nadyo draya kagamaga sadaya palokai lokyon terena bujayor api yatspihasti. This earth has now become most fortunate because you have touched her grasses and bushes with your feet, and her trees and creepers with your fingernails. Because you have graced her rivers, mountains, birds, and animals with your merciful glances, you have graced her rivers, mountains, birds, and animals with your merciful glances. But above all, you have embraced the young cowherd women between your two arms. Favor hankered after by the goddess of fortune herself.
Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Dati Sapadantikam Panchakalpa Purubhyascha Kripashindu Vayebhacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaurava Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from the Bhakti Center. Because Sri Sri Radha Govinda Mandir holds their main function today, we held our main celebration on Friday called the Lotus Festival, where actually we purchased 350 lotus flowers shipped directly from India. We have a pond and the small deities, the Vijay Utsava deities, and a beautiful little pool. Everybody can offer lotus flowers. And Srila Radhanath Swami spoke. I actually did my drama and spoke a little bit. And it's just phenomenal how Krishna consciousness is spreading here. There were 350 people. And the service was just so nicely done and organized. There were three places where prasad was served, and it was heated up, a restaurant, and two places on the second floor, a little VIP section for some really, some godbrothers and some substantial patrons of the place. And community is nice. And community means that people are focused on something higher than themselves, and it's just such a beautiful thing to see. and also the restaurant, Prasadam, is served. And any guests, any visitors that came from the outside in the restaurant got free prasadam. Whatever restaurant does that. And just so many people, my God. And then at the last moment, we knew Shruti Kirti was in Philadelphia, so we brought him here for a program. How many people would come after that function? And there were at least 200 people, and a lot of them were different people. In fact, on the way out, I saw one lady that... I would not say she's a devotee. I don't think she yet believes that Krishna is God, has some kind of attraction, at least to come. She come to my classes sometimes in Yoga Maya. I saw her in a very established Russian lady. I saw her walking on the way out. I was sitting in the back. It's like I got there a little bit late, but had a nice seat. And she was watching me. She saw me. She greeted me, and she said, I hardly ever come here, but I thought today would be a nice program. And she said, I'm not disappointed. You know, it was such an interesting thing. Imagine persons, not really the devotee sitting there, historical, the servant of Prabhupada, explaining, look at it from their eyes, you know, all the charming exchanges and stories and somehow it felt, it was really wonderful. And then this morning, we'll have in our Sunday program, Radhanath Swami and myself, we speak 45 minutes to an hour of Krishna Leela. And then we'll both go together to upstate to the Sun Falls, Stuyvesant Falls function, which will also be a very beautiful Janmashtami function. And then the Vyas Puja tomorrow with Satsrup Maharaj. It's wonderful. So, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Now, this is the Poganda Leela. And the Poganda Leela means Krishna has gotten older. Actually, his body has changed to facilitate love. Isn't that a beautiful conception of God? God manifests according to your desire to love him. I'm going to actually try to find... I'm just interested in this. I just want to see the descriptions of Krishna's different ages, which is, the luster of his body, can't find the section where it describes his different ages.
The luster of his body becomes so bright that it becomes an impetus, ecstatic love. Similarly, there are reddish borders around his eyes and growth of soft hair around his body. At this age, Krishna's body manifests in a more developed way. When Krishna attained 13 years of age, his two thighs were challenging the trunks of elephant. His rising chest was trying to come to peace talks with the doors of jewels. And his two arms were minimizing the value of the bolts found on doors. Who can describe the wonderful beauty of these features of Krishna? Rupa Goswami describes the special beauty of Krishna's body was his mild smiling, his restless eyes, and his world enchanting song. These are the special features of this age. One second here. I'm sorry, I'm a little slow today. I'm trying to slow down because I got so much to do today. We'll get into it. I just be patient. God's body matures. He's eternally in different facets of his life to facilitate the love of his devotees. And therefore, this chapter is called Poganda. The first words of it are Poganda. Krishna is now 6 to 10. His body has matured. 10. Inspire, developing features of relationships and friendship. And Krishna begins to take out the cows, which now allows him to go to the forest. Before, he was just taking care of the calves. And now he's going to the forest of Vrindavan. The beautiful forest of Vrindavan. There are four types of beautiful that God does not fear in majesty, which creates distance. If someone is much higher than you, the love is less intimate. That's just a psychological, existential, ontological fact. The concept of Krishna is that there, God does not separate himself from us by majesty and invoking fear and reverence and love. So he can enjoy the most intimate type of love. Therefore, only in Vrindavan is there the experience of Vipralamba Bhav. Vipralamba Bhav means separation. There's only separation when the love reaches a certain degree of intimacy. Well, there's separation, but separation at its height is called Vipralamba Bhav. The spiritual world is like a river, Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj explains, like a river of prema, love, which requires two embankments. The embankment of union, the embankment of separation. We can envision a river with only one bank. How strongly would it flow? for Vrindavan, which is moving to enhance the height of love. The residents of Vrindavan feel separation from Krishna every single day. Intense separation when Krishna goes to the forest. So it seems also there's higher and higher degrees of separation in relationship as one. There's practically no separation from the child. Sometimes, I guess, he's lost or in trouble. Because the friends, now the boy goes to the first day of school, there's a little separation from the mother. But to speak when the child gets older, you know. So Krishna now is taking out the cows, and the forest of Vrindavan is jubilant, which was experiencing separation during part of the night from Krishna. And now the residents of Vrindavan will experience separation. So it's quite a wonderful perception of the absolute reality as an ocean which churns love. Love is found where? In consciousness. And where is consciousness found? In personhood. So if there is love, how can not the absolute reality not be a person? Why is it so limiting? Actually, that's enhancing. It's limiting God to deny his qualities, not to affirm his opulences. So just meditate on that. Just meditate on that. Krishna's going to the forest. He's going to the forest, and before him are his cows. He's blowing a flute, and the cowherd boys are doing kirtan. Navanirara nindita tanti paham vasa sagara nagara bupapalam. Shubhavam kima charu sikhanda sikham vajra krishna nidim vajra raja sitam vajra krishna nidim vajra raja sitam navani radha nindita kanti param sasagara nagara bupaparam Shubhavam kema charisi khanda sikham vajra krishna nidim vajra raja sikham vajra krishna nidim vajra raja. So he's headed to the forest. And he's surrounded by the cowherd boys who have intense love for him. Imagine the ultimate reality where you're always with the object of your love, who is the most worthy object of love, because the word object of love is real. Our objects of love, in one sense, are not real, because we identify people as the bodies. But the body is just matter, it's not a person. Of course, the body reflects the consciousness of someone, but the point I'm making is the real love of a person is their soul. And because that's the real person. So, Krishna is the ultimate and perfect object of love fully manifest. Anyway, regardless of that fact, when we love someone in this world, it's generally temporary. And it's mixed with the duality that we may lose them. They're with Krishna. They're the perfect object of love, and they're feeling that love. And they're singing about that love as Krishna enters into the abode of love, the place which moves with the intention to please him. And in that place, all moving and non-moving living entities are conscious. So the trees are conscious, and they're loving. And they're very stately, but they're bending to offer the beautiful red flowers from their trees at Krishna's lotus feet, announcing that the red beauty of my feet is subordinate to the beauty of Krishna's lotus feet. What a wonderful conception of divinity. I remember, I always tell this story, when I was in college and I first got the Krishna book. And I was studying philosophy. And they gave a definition of God, that being of which no greater can be conceived. Krishna is God, why will you not accept it, Prabhupada would say. That being of which no greater can be conceived. If you study Krishna, his energies pervade everywhere, mayata tambi dhamsava jagata vyakam, but he doesn't have the defect of impersonality. Doesn't have the defect of impersonality. But he's going through the forest that's feeling love. What could be another reality than love? At least according to our experience and values, do we really think that love is completely an illusion? Or do we believe that there is such something as love? In Gaudiya Vaishnavism, we do believe that. We believe it's an existential reality that's part of God's most intimate Swarup Shakti. And it's his bliss potency. It's how God enjoys. Love exists In the ultimate reality for the enjoyment of the ultimate reality, which is the enjoyment of everyone who participates in the ultimate reality. So we're covered from our highest pleasure, not by what is in our world, but by what we're not seeing in our world because of our consciousness. But here, people are seeing the ultimate reality, and the ultimate reality is a person whom you have a natural relationship with, upon which realizing you feel that love, which is the essence of the Lord's bliss potency, and you feel that flowing through your willing heart, your consciousness, we want to serve. And the best service is to love. And the best love is the love of God. It's loving God, and it is God's love. Like offering the water of the Ganges to the Ganges. Nice, I'm closing my eyes. See Krishna blowing the flute. See the cows before Krishna. And the stately trees offering their flowers. And then the bees, Gudham, they know the secret that this boy is the full manifestation of the divine. The full manifestation of any person is not in their position, but in the intimacy and equality of their home, where they can be themselves. They leave the robes of the judge at the door, the upadis, the designations of power and position, distance ourselves from others. Well, God doesn't distance himself from others. Therefore, he also manifests like us. Baharp in my favorite verse, Baharpi da biramam migamatati lakam kundalam Baharpidam natavarava pu karnio karni karyam. His yellow tulips in his hair. Vibrad bishad. His cloth, panika kapisham, golden, vajantishwa, with this beautiful garland of forest flowers made with such the greatest exquisite love. Bees are following him because he's Madhu. Krishna is Madhu. He's like the spring. He's born in the Madhu dynasty. He's Madhava. Madhu means Madhava, the husband of a goddess of fortune. He's very sweet, Madhu. The bees are following. The bees know where to get the nectar. The ultimate nectar is in God. The ultimate nectar is feeling what is there, which is God and God's energy. Realizing the truth, when the truth is a person, is feeling a person. And feeling a person is called love. And then we see all the living entities see all the living entities offering whatever they do best to Krishna. I was explaining yesterday and this morning about karma. Good or bad karma depends on your goal. If you want to cook and God sends you a pot, a cooking pot, it's good karma. But if you need a shovel and God sends you a cooking pot,
God is good, Carla. So God has sent us, given us particular proclivities and particular things and particular situations, which have an objective or goal. And once you have that objective or goal, the situation ceases to become troubling. If your goal is self-realization, and a material situation takes away something, your goal is to be the controller in the world. You have bad karma, but if your goal is to be a lover of God, then you have good karma. It depends on your objective or goal. So here it describes Nisargasthitam, the symptom of a saintly person. What is the symptom of the saintly person? The symptom of the saintly person is that he offers the best to other saintly persons. Offering the best means an expression of love. When you love someone, you want to give the best. So when you love those who represent God and want to give them the best, that's a saintly person. Prabhupada was a saintly person. Whatever he had, he wanted to give to God, to his guru. And a disciple of Prabhupada is a saintly person. Gives what he has. That is bhakti. Bhakti is making everything you have available for God and announcing it, including yourself. I am available. That's bhakti. That's bhakti, having everything available, making everything available. So the peacocks, what do they have? The best, the beauty. And therefore, they offer that to God. Even what you like best, you give to God. Because you will value that the most and therefore can offer with the most love. And therefore, different nationalities will express their love for Krishna in cooking something. You take an Orthodox Brahmin Vaishnav, he couldn't offer pizza with love because he doesn't value it. And maybe an Italian can't offer, of course they can, but may not offer rice and dal with the most love. Maybe they don't value it. Well, right. Anyway, Bengalis definitely offer rice. Punjabis will offer puri rotis. Gujaratis will offer dokra. South Indians will offer idlis and doshas. So peacocks dance. They offer their dancing to Krishna and their beauty. And the does offer their cute eyes to Krishna. And the kukfu sing. Krishna plays his flute to a symphony of birds. So get this picture in your mind. Krishna's playing the flute. And it is the abode of beauty. It has the best sounds. It has the best scents. It has the best visuals. It feels the nicest.
taste the nicest. Even the breezes that carry the droplets of water, if that water touches your mouth, it's the most refreshing nectar drink ever imaginable to the world. And now in the verse that we discussed today, there's a general description. We have the specifics. Now the general description is, the earth has become fortunate because Krishna has touched the grass and bushes with his feet. Connection, intimate connection with the object of love is the highest ecstasy. Is the highest ecstasy. The earth is fortunate because it is in contact with the object of its love. And the trees and creepers are fortunate because they're being picked by the gopis to offer to Krishna. And such great pleasure that they feel. And the animals receive the glances of Krishna, the affectionate glances of Krishna, the merciful glances of Krishna. And the gopis embrace Krishna. Well, he embraces Krishna, the gopis. Thus expressing his satisfaction with the beautiful forest of Vrindavan and its inhabitants, Lord Krishna enjoyed tending the cows and other animals with his friends on the bank of the Jamuna. Pritamana! Mind is satisfied. The mind is only satisfied in an exchange of love. All psychological problems basically are rooted somewhere in the karma and some life of an experience of unsatisfactory relationship. So this is a anti-psychotic world. Because all the relationships are perfect. Because the people are perfect. And perfection means you can exchange in love. A cultured person can exchange in love. A psychopath cannot exchange in love. So perfection and consciousness has everything to do with the exchange of love. He becomes very enlivened. His mind becomes very satisfied eternally with the nectar juice of his energy, of the essence of the Swarup Shakti, the bliss potency, flowing through the hearts of the devotees, expressed through the senses to Krishna. And he becomes intoxicated. And he becomes subordinate to love. And love becomes greater than God. Because because out of pleasure when they act for pleasure or when they act out of pleasure, like a person who is drunk. He doesn't act for pleasure. Out of pleasure, he acts. The highest pleasure is not when you're moving for it, but it says when happiness doesn't radiate to the self, happiness radiates from the self. And therefore, being intoxicated with the shower of love from Vrindavan, Krishna begins to act, but not for love, but out of love. And he begins to move through the forest. And sometimes the honeybees become so mad with ecstasy that they close their eyes and begin to sing. So now imagine Krishna's blowing his flute. The cows are before him. He's blowing his flute out of love. Out of entering the forest of Vrindavan, which loves God, which moves for God's pleasure, which moves out of love, therefore. And then, as Krishna is moving through the forest playing his flute, the honeybees in Vrindavan become so mad with ecstasy that they close their eyes. It refers to being intoxicated by the special happiness by either drinking Vrindavan or drinking Krishna. Residents of Vrindavan are drinking Krishna. What does that mean? Drinking Krishna. They're relishing Krishna. It's flowing towards their consciousness. Like someone who is advanced in the holy name, he doesn't chant the holy name, but the holy name chants him. Moving along the path with his coward boys and friends. And then Krishna responds to the bees by imitating their singing while his friends sang about his pastimes. So the bees are just so intoxicated. They're closing their eyes out of love. And Krishna is imitating the bees. They're singing. Respond by imitating their singing. And his friends are singing about his pastimes. And then Krishna sometimes would imitate the chattering of a parrot and sometimes the cooing of swans. And sometimes he would vigorously imitate the dancing of the peacocks, and his friends begin to laugh. Sometimes with a voice as deep as the rumbling clouds, he would call out with affection the names of the animals who had wandered from the herd, us enchanting the cows and the cowherd boys. And sometimes he would cry out in imitation of some of the birds, like the chakoras and the chakravad, the bhardwa, and the peacock. And sometimes he would run away with the smaller animals in like fear of the lions and tigers. And then when his older brother would get tired, he would lie down with his elder brother would lie down on, with his head on the lap of the cowherd boy. And then Krishna would begin personally massaging his feet and offering other services. His older brother, so Krishna is loving. He is being loved and he is loving. And it's a perfect atmosphere surrounded by love. And sometimes the cowherd bird would incredibly dance, and sometimes they would sing, and sometimes they would wrestle. And Krishna and Balaram, standing nearby, hand in hand, would glorify their friends' activities and laugh. They would be appreciating the singing out of love of their friends, the incredible dancing of their friends. And then when Krishna grew tired from fighting, he laid at the base of a tree, resting on a bed of made of twigs and buds, but using the lap of the cowherd boys as a pillow. The one cowherd boy, Krishna's head would lay on that, and Krishna would rest. And these great souls, these cowherd boys, they're mahatmanaha. Because why? They're constantly engaged in service. And therefore they're sinless. Why? Because they're constantly engaged in service. If there is love, there must be the concrete expression of love. Therefore, lila makes sense. If there's love, there must be a concrete expression of love, and that's called lila. And some would fan Krishna very expertly. And other boys would sing appropriate songs to the occasion, and their hearts would melt out of love for the Lord. So in this way, Krishna, whose lotus feet are personally attended by the goddess of fortune, concealed his opulences by his internal poem and act like the son of the cowherd to exchange intimate love. What a wonderful conception of divinity. And yet even while enjoying like that, he was Ishtajetita. He was the Supreme Lord. Now, I have to end now because I have so many things, but if anybody wants to say hello or even ask a question, that's fine.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hello.
Thank you for a wonderful lecture this morning.
What's that?
Thank you for a wonderful lecture this morning.
Hare Bo. Who is this?
It's Lee.
Oh, Lee. Thank you. Thank you. I was just with your friend last night, Stephen Triolo. We took prashad yesterday.
Yes, he was telling me. Oh,
okay.
Very good.
Wonderful. Thank you, Lee.
Thank you.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Happy Janmashtami.
Thank you. Thank you. Who else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
Well, one of us was Gail. I don't
know.
Sorry, the other one was Malati.
Okay, Malati, happy Janmashtami.
Happy Janmashtami, Maharaj.
Thank you.
Is there time?
Anybody
is there time for a question? Is there time for a question, Maharaj? Is this hello now?
Okay, one question. Go ahead.
Yeah, you said earlier, and by the way, I was very happy to hear my favorite song that you do. It was such a happy song. Anyway, my question is, I wish you could sing it at the Bhakti Center today. But anyway, my question is, you were saying that, we don't love each other. We're loving matter, we're not loving a real person. But
we're loving the person. I can say we're loving the person. We actually are loving the person, but we don't have a complete conception of who that person is.
So if we don't have a conception, then how can we actually be loving? As conditioned souls, we're not able to see our Siddha Swarup, that of ourselves or others. And so,
I'm just saying, the consciousness is a reflection of the self. So I don't want to say that our relationships here are not loving, and we're not loving the person. But obviously, to the extent, in one sense, the extent that we don't understand a person's connection to God or their spirituality, et cetera, it limits the effect that we act of our love for them. The love, therefore, in the world we often see, the love is not pure, it's conditional, and it's temporary, and even what we're loving changes. Because we're loving a baby, and then we're loving, an old person. So we're loving different bodies. So I guess it's a reflection of the person, but to the extent that we're thinking that, there's some kind of compromise in the love. But, there are different types of love, the higher love than you have God. Okay. Gail?
Okay.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Bo.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
And Coach Angie. Happy Janmashtami. We love you.
Thank you. We love you all, too. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Who else would like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. It's Chris in Pennsylvania.
Who?
It's Chris in Pennsylvania.
Chris. Wow.
Yes.
Get down to the inaugurate if you can. Hare Krishna, nice to meet you. Anybody else?
I wish I could.
Okay, not possible, okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hi, Bo. Hi, nice to see you the other day. I'm going to have to end now. Sorry, because I got to go. Thank you. Bunch of both of you.